Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
2-2 the count. Here's the pitch, and Alvarez swings it. It's a high drive to right field, deep, back toward the wall, and this ball is gone. He's done it again. High, towering drive, pulled into the grandstand in right field, over that low wall about 10 rows back. 3-1 Houston. Oh, is he fearsome.
Hour number three of KJ and Lyons on WEEI. Show made for a Sunday, but strong enough for a weekday. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Just a quick update. Women's gold medal round tied 55-55 with 3:45 left in the fourth quarter. Remember, the women's national team has not lost in 60 games. 60, is that the right number, John? 60?
Yeah, 60, you know, they've won the gold medal every time they've been in the Olympics. They just did pull ahead by one, 56-55.
Yeah, I'm watching the free throws right now. So, yep, missed free throw by Breonna Stewart, 56-55, 3:40 and counting. We'll keep you posted on that. I think there's a bit of a clock counting down now in the Red Sox as well, John. Tell me this does not necessarily sound good after that second loss yesterday to the Astros. The Red Sox are now 11 games under 500 against teams over 500. There are only two teams that are below the Red Sox. There's only one team that's below 500 in the one team that's 500. The two teams below the Red Sox before you get to 500, the Mariners and the Rays. Well, nobody sees the Rays as any type of, well, then again, they're only 3.5 behind the Sox. But the Royals, Twins, Yankees, Astros, Guardians, Orioles, that's the whole story right there. And the Mariners are only a half game behind the Red Sox in the wild card race. So I'm concerned that this team might have run out of gas and just can't beat the winning teams, which is going to be needed, watch this, to advance into a wild card spot.
Yeah, not just overall to advance into wild card spot, but just look at what's coming up. So you have Houston today, but then later this week you have four games in Baltimore, three more games in Houston after that. Then you play Arizona after, and then you get into September, and not to look too far ahead, but you have to play Baltimore, the Yankees, the Twins, Tampa again, like all these. So for them to make the playoffs, it's not just the overall picture, it's the next week or so of their schedule. They're going to be playing a lot of baseball against really good teams.
Yeah, and so it makes you wonder, because this was the perfect storm that could have happened for the Red Sox. The Guardians have, up at, I think, till yesterday, I think they won yesterday, had lost seven in a row. They've three of their last 10. you figure, hey, if the Guardians could turn it around against the Twins and the Red Sox could at least take two or three from Houston, and you had Kansas City who struggled in their series in their opener on Friday, you would now be talking about a team that would be moving as the teams in front of you were losing. But what's happening is all the teams in front of you are winning. Even I think the Twins have split that series so far with Cleveland. So, you know, they're in a good situation. The Twins seem to be pulling away with that number two spot. And then even what's going on in the AL West, Houston and Seattle are virtually tied for that top spot. This is why I think it doesn't really bode well for the Red Sox in the end is if you've got two the Royals are only three games out in the Central. So if you've got that tight of races, well, you know the division winner is going to get in, and then there's a high probability who comes in second or who just misses that spot also gets in. You've got that going on with the Yankees and Orioles. You've got that going on in the AL Central with the Twins, the Guardians, and the Royals. And you have that going on in the West with the Astros and with the Mariners. So where does that leave the Red Sox?
And what concerns me, too, is, and I feel like, AJ, you and I had this conversation a dozen times in the offseason. You look at the starting rotation. They don't really have the horses at the front of it. Like, they don't have that true ace. They have guys who, look, Tanner Houck had a great first few months of the season. Cutter Crawford's had some good moments, but these guys are all pitching more innings than they've ever pitched before. They're starting to give up a lot of home runs. Like, you know who's given up, KJ, the most home runs of any pitcher in baseball? Cutter Crawford. 27. Yep. Yeah, and the Red Sox as a staff have given up the seventh most home runs. And we saw it yesterday. I mean, like, Alvarez homer, Bregman homer, right? DiCenzo homer. It's just they're giving up so many home runs, which to your point is, they addressed the bullpen at the trade deadline, which is good. And Lucas Sims has been good. And they have a good offense.
Chris Martin's back.
But is this starting pitching running out of gas? This was our concern all along. Like, hey, out of Houck, Crawford, Bayo, you know, one of those guys is probably going to pitch the entire season and be fine. One of them is probably going to break down. And then there's probably going to be one guy that's kind of in the middle. And I think we're starting to see that. Like, they're starting to break down. They're not just starting to give up a bunch of home runs, but it's continuing. It's in some ways getting worse.
Yeah.
All these home. So that's my issue. Like, when I look forward, because this is a team with an offense good enough to make the playoffs, I think, given the trade deadline, a bullpen good enough to make the playoffs, I just worry, is this rotation going to run out of gas?
Well, does it feel like that, okay, play as hard, play them out as you can. Anything can happen in playoff baseball and in Major League Baseball in terms of runs. But you almost feel like if you can just keep this team competitive, and if they miss the playoffs by maybe a game or two, the wild card by a game or two, would it not still have been a successful season?
Yeah, and look, if you look in the big picture, they finished last place 2 years in a row. So if this year they finish in third or fourth, and you know,
right.
Yeah, it's an improvement, but what would frustrate me, KJ, is if they miss the playoffs by a game or two, and I'm not trying to get mad at them for something they haven't done yet, but if they miss the playoffs by a game or two, and I sit here and say, wow, they could have gotten Corbin Burns or Dylan Cease or Imanaga or Yamamoto or one of the guys from the Marlins, like all these great pitchers available in the offseason, they got none of them, and then to miss the playoffs by a game or two, like that would really frustrate me because, again, you have an offense good enough to make the playoffs. I think you have a bullpen good enough to make the playoffs. We know you have a manager good enough to make the playoffs. So if your starting pitching is what lets you down, considering we knew this was an issue last year, it was an issue in November, December, January, if it still lets you down after not addressing it, that would be really frustrating, even if we can say, hey, it's an improvement from the last 2 years.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Just a quick update. Women's USA basketball, they are up by one with about a minute 20 left. They're in timeout. 60-59. I think that's the score.
Yep, that's what I got here. Over my shoulder.
Yep, so yeah. So I think it's one of those situations with the Red Sox where, yes, they could have done all these things in the offseason, but the offseason was so uncertain with where this organization was. You didn't know if Alex Cora was going to come back. That's been answered. You're coming in a transition period where Craig Breslow's coming in and Chaim Bloom's going out. You don't necessarily know if this franchise is going to be willing to pay top dollar for top talent. I think that's probably what kept some of the higher free agents away. I think that might be a next year thing where you can say Alex Cora is going to be the manager. He has been extended. You've seen that we've put together a core. We didn't get rid of key pieces to make moves at the trade deadline. It shows that we will make moves at the deadline if we see them to deem necessary without spending out of the face. And your guys at AA probably should all be at AAA next year for the most part, which now would give you some flexibility of getting rid of some, moving some of those AAA parts for other better pieces. I think you're probably still going to have to readdress middle relief, because while it's gotten a little bit better, it's not been that great. And that's because, like you said, the pitching is not used to going this deep. But if you're going to go get guys who are used to going getting deeper, you probably want to match it up with getting a little bit of better, a bit of better bullpen play. You might even look at the closer role again next year. I think this is his last year on his deal. So you're probably going to say, if we do a reset next year, we could do it from the back end, but sell big to the front end guys that we're going after.
And I think that's where, like, the pitching market frustrates me, because, like, this coming off season, like, Corbin Burns will be a free agent, Max Fried will be a free agent, Flaherty will be, like, there'll be some good options. It's just last year you had so many options, and you could have had them not just for this year but for long term. And as this team kind of grew into a contender, and I think it's a, and not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but it's a pivotal offseason coming up, because I think this is a team good enough to make the playoffs right now. But if they're going to elevate to become a World Series level team, they're still missing that piece at the front of their rotation. And I think we've seen it a little bit over these last few weeks out of the All-Star break, where they don't have that guy where you lose a few games in a row and he's going to come out and you know he's going to throw seven strong innings, close the door on a losing streak and move forward. And that's why they've kind of they were, what, 2-8 out of the break, and then they won a few games in a row. You know, they had that extra inning win against Seattle, which was awesome. They had a good series down in Texas, but now they've, you know, now here they are, they've lost two in a row to Houston, right? Like, do they have that guy that's going to go out there and stop that? Houck was that guy earlier in the year. It just feels like now he's tailed off.
Well, here's what's interesting. Who did you get back in the Chris Sale deal?
Vaughn Grissom.
Vaughn Grissom. What have you gotten out of Vaughn Grissom this year?
Nothing.
So what are the Braves getting out of Chris Sale?
Everything.
At least potentially top three Cy Young candidate, and for sure probably comeback player of the year. Where would the Red Sox be if you're getting this performance out of Chris Sale that he's giving in Atlanta right now?
Yeah, that's a bad one, right?
Yeah.
But even like I understand, like, okay, Chris Sale, things had just not really worked out here over the last couple of years. He kept getting hurt. They wanted to move on. Just if you got that production period out of someone, because yeah, you could have kept Sale, but you could have added all those, any of those other guys I already mentioned.
But you already, like, had Sale.
Right. No, but what I'm saying is, even just, you can put in any name you want. If you just got that level of production at the front of your rotation, they'd be in a playoff spot right now. And I think we'd feel even better about it, because again,
they would be in the AL East, like, race.
And you look at some of these games they've lost just over the last couple of weeks, right? Like, they lose a game 11-8 to the Yankees. They lost a game 10-6 to Seattle, 7-4 to the Rangers. They've scored four runs in their last three games, and they've lost all three. Like, the offense is producing. They're scoring runs. It's just they're getting outscored. And you look at the schedule going forward. Houston today is a team that can outscore you. Texas is a team that can outscore you. Baltimore is a team that can outscore you. Then Houston again. So that again, that's my concern, in that this team's made a lot of progress. They've got a lot of young and exciting pieces. They're just still missing that piece at the front of the rotation.
KJ and Lions on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Next, we talk Patriots, Jerod Mayo as well. Hang out. But now, time to trend with Jacob Lassner.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox were defeated by the Astros last night by a score of 5-4. Josh Winkowski went 3 and allowed one earned run. Yordan Alvarez hit two home runs to lead the Astros to victory. Here's what Cora had to say about Alvarez himself after the game.
Just control the strike zone. Just hits for average. He'll take his walks, you know, and for me, he's up there with Judge, to be honest with you. It's just, you bring a lefty, hits lefties, and I don't know, it seems like he likes hitting here, you know. That wall kind of like keeps him close, you know. He can shoot it the other way, and then he can do that. Closest thing to David, probably, in the game. He, you know, like, very, very, very similar to David Ortiz.
The Red Sox are back in action today at 1:35 on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Sean McDonough and Hall of Fame Joe Castiglione are on the call. James Paxton is on the mound for the Red Sox. Hunter Brown for the Astros. The Sox lineup looks like Duran in left field, Valdez at second, Abreu at right field, Yoshida DHing, Wong catching, Smith at first base, Sogard at third base, Rafaela at center field, and Hamilton at shortstop. And, of course, James Paxton on the bump. Joe Wild is going to get you going on the MassMutual pregame show at 12:35. MassMutual, insurance, planning, investments. The U.S. men's basketball team took gold yesterday in Paris. Steph Curry was announced Olympics MVP after splashing four ridiculous threes to close out the game for the United States. Elsewhere in the Olympics, the U.S. women's team is up 63-59 with 17.4 seconds to go in the fourth quarter of their gold medal matchup against France. The United States looks to catch up to China. They're down by one in gold medals, but they lead in total medals with 125. Also, according to a report from Josh Kozman of the New York Post, Fenway Sports Group and Redbird Capital are seriously considering bidding for the Boston Celtics. And the Patriots are back on the practice field today to prep for their second preseason game this Thursday against the Eagles. Here's what Gerard Mayo had to say about Drake May after the first preseason game.
I mean, he, you know, Jacoby's the starter, so Drake only gets a few of these games. You didn't feel it was important for him to learn the work on the operation and the huddle and some of the game management stuff?
I mean, those things are always under consideration. I would also say, you know, during practice, he gets a lot of reps. And then going into the Eagles week, this honestly is a huge week for everyone to practice against the Eagles and then really. We'll see how the reps kind of break down in the game, but I expect Drake to get, you know, more reps than he did in the first game.
My name is Jacob Lastner, and that is what's trending on WEI and WEI.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We're back to KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We'll get to Patriots talk here shortly. What an amazing finish in this women's France versus USA gold medal game. I mean, here's why I got to give it to France. Tony Parker's DNA is all over that country when it comes to basketball, I think men and women's. It literally came down to a last-second heave shot by a girl from France. I won't say her name because I don't want to butcher it, and my French isn't that good as it used to be. But her foot is just inside the three-point line. It goes in. It's only a two-point shot. USA wins by one.
And KJ, I'm not sure what's better, the city of Paris or our Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studio, which is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Make it the Ford Summer Sales Event. Make it to the Ford Summer Sales Event, excuse me. Make it the best summer ever with a great deal on the Bronco family or Ford F-Series, the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. And KJ, I don't know if you...
Is it wrong of me? I'm looking at the underarms of the girls on the French team just to see if...
Yeah, that's only you. I don't know if you've been to the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studio.
Yes.
Or, excuse me, to Fenway this week, during... I was there on Friday, and... I don't know who did this. Somebody parked a brand new F-150 Super Duty in the hallway or the concourse behind center field, like in between these two or three poles that have been there since 1912.
That's what sponsorship does for you.
I don't know how whoever did that, but if they should make money parallel parking cars for people in the city of Boston. I was impressed.
Well, that's the whole idea. When you're going to get these mentions and you have the studio there, you got to figure out, how do I get this Ford 150 there? I just can't just talk about it. I want people to be able to see it and be right in there. Have you seen a game from any of the suites at Fenway yet?
Well, no.
Am I doing the humble brag here?
No. I will say, if this counts, last August I did Red Sox pregame and Red Sox review from the broadcast booth with Joe Castiglione.
That was work.
So that was a cool view.
Have you been able to just start grabbing the snacks and having conversations simultaneously?
No.
Step out. I won't say whose it was. It wasn't ours, but it was in another corporation's booth. This is a few years ago. And you know the furniture commercial guy? I don't want to say his name.
Yeah.
He was in the suite sitting down there. I was like, that's dude. I was like, you don't want to be like, hey, you're the furniture guy. But he was in my suite. Well, he was in the suite I was in that night for the game. So, but yeah, because usually, so I'm telling you, they kind of like roll out the little beverage cart for you. And you just grab a little drink.
Sat in one of those. I'm a man of the people, as you know. I've just never sat in one of those suites at any event.
What was funny, I guess one of our former coworkers here, they were in the, well, if I tell you where they were located in proximity to where I was, they would give away whose suite I was in. but they saw me walk out of the suite. They were like, hey, Jay. I was like, the surprise should not show on your face. I am a man of the people, and I have access. You just think, just don't let the one day a week thing fool you. So if you ever get that chance, man, because once you go and sit out in the seat that comes out from the suite, you're like, oh wow, this is such a beautiful way to watch the game. You almost feel like that Kevin Costner in Field of Dreams is narrating you sitting down like dun 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 dun. So yeah,
I guess I got to work on that, getting in the suite.
Yeah. I should stop the humble brags.
You know what I need? I need a suite for opening night of the Celtics when they raise the banner. That's when I need a suite. Probably be like $1 million.
Probably to rob
Greg Hill. I'll be helping to pay for Tatum Supermax or Brown Supermax.
I've done a suite for a Bruins game.
I never have. Nothing again. I just never have.
This is starting to become embarrassing, isn't it?
Never have.
I'm kidding. So congratulations to Team USA women's title. Men and women both win gold. The women's streak is still intact, and the men have not lost in the last six Olympics.
Yeah, because what, they get bronze in 2004.
Yes,
they've won gold since then.
Yes, so both continue their impressive streak in domination of basketball. I do want to get to probably a couple of things that were discussed during the week, but I'll get to the first one, which was why Drake May only played six, seven plays in the preseason game on Thursday. And so here's why I'll defend Jerod Mayo, and he doesn't need any defending, but if it needs to become a bit on this show,
he needs a little defending.
I can introduce the character Pastor Plate. Get it, Pastor Plate?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Where I totally understand why he didn't extensively play Drake May, but the fans specifically came to see him play. And you got to protect the guy, and it's not a real regular season game. I think Drake May, you'll have chances. I think the most you'll see from Drake May is in game three of the season, where some of the starters will be rested, but the offensive line is still going to be out there getting at work.
Yeah, I think the biggest reason May, and I think part of it is where he is in his development, but I think the biggest reason by far that May didn't play more is the situation on the offensive line. Because not only is their offensive line, especially at the tackle position, pretty suspect, there's not a lot of depth there. Like, KJ, what do you think the situation would look like if, God forbid, David Andrews got hurt? Or if Mike Onwenu got hurt? Like, you're already thin. They need to be so careful with that offensive line that I think that's a huge reason why Drake May didn't get in there. And you even saw when he was in there, what was it, a 3rd-and-11 and a 3rd-and-12 he faced where there's 2 3rd downs? So I think they were extra careful with him, partly because of just his development and where he is, but in large part because of where this offensive line is.
KJ and Lions, WEEI. If you missed any of the show, the Odyssey app is free. We've talked Red Sox. We've talked Celtics. We've talked Team USA basketball as well. If you missed any of the show, just hit the rewind feature and you play it chapter by chapter. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Tim in Hanover. Tim, we were talking about Sox. Go ahead. What do you want to say?
Guys, great show, man.
Thank you.
What we can do, we can take a star and put it on the Red Sox front office on their forehead, because they did a job that they've done the last 5 years with the fake news. But the bottom line is, you know what? We got to also thank Cora for being the great coach he is, like many of us think. You know what I mean? I don't think they're going anywhere. With another two parts or three parts of, you know, good players, they might have been real competitive. You don't know. You don't have to have the elite to make it to the championship. But you know what? It's just a little luck, and that's all you need, really, to get to the end of the stick there. So good luck. Have a great day, guys.
All right, you too, Tim. Thanks for the comments. He's right. The Sox have overachieved. If you said ever since what, 2021, the prognosticators have pretty much said that the Sox would be a 500-esque team, and two out of those 3 years, they proved them wrong. So they've been overachieving. Think about all the noise at the start of this season that was going on about this team. Oh, we're not going to go and everything.
Now, a lot of apathy. If you remember, there was just a lot of people that weren't in. Like, we would talk on this show. We would talk Patriots, you know, get a bunch of calls, talk Celtics, get a bunch of calls and texts. If you and I started talking Red Sox, it would either be a handful of, like, frustrated or angry calls we'd get, or, like, nothing. Like, there was a lot of apathy about this team.
Yeah, and I think it's because people are fair weather, right? If they're hot, I've loved them all along. If they're not, I've told you so the whole time type deal. But I think it's one of those situations is, like I said, if you've got one, people laughed at me a couple of years ago when I said that I think Alex Cora is a top five manager in Major League Baseball. Tell me that I'm wrong. If any other manager was given this team, tell me that manager either wouldn't have been fired or the team would have done worse than what we've gotten over the last 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, and look, I had my criticisms of Cora last year, but this year, I think he's been tremendous, and I think you see in the development of some of these young guys, he deserves credit. Because what we also used to say about Cora was he was a manager for vets, right? Like that 2018 team, you don't want him developing young guys, et cetera, et cetera. And again, I had some of those criticisms last year, but this year he's shown, I mean, Duran was an all-star game MVP, right? Like, we've seen a step forward from so many. Like, Sedan Rafaela has taken a big step forward. We've seen a lot of these young players, Abreu's another one, that have all taken steps forward, and I think Cora deserves a lot of credit for that.
6 months.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to get to James in Portland.
Yeah,
James,
go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, James, thanks for the call. You're on KJ and Lions. Good Sunday to you.
Thank you. I guess to preface it, I'm not a Red Sox fan. I'm a transplant up here. Grew up in the St. Louis area, so grew up with Cardinals baseball over the last 40 years.
This bug's for you!
I did catch your discussion before the commercial about the missing pieces for the Red Sox. I still don't really even evaluate the Red Sox pitching staff very much at this point. I think your biggest albatross that's going to have to be fixed, otherwise the pitching and everything else isn't going to matter, is you guys have got to find someone who can catch a baseball and throw a baseball accurately. And until you deal with the fielding issues, you know, it's really hard to look at pitchers that have to get an extra 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 outs a game versus another major league team across the diamond every single night, or at least most every night. If they don't fix the fielding, everything else is going to be just difficult for them. So that's my point. Have a good day.
Hey, James, thanks for the call. Now, here's kind of magic that kinetically happens. That ball usually gets to the outfield because it's been hit hard.
Like, yeah, but to his point,
yeah.
Red Sox last in the league in fielding percentage. I think they've committed the most errors in the league, or they're top two or three in errors. So it's been a big problem. I think it was a bigger problem last year.
Right.
Yeah, they've committed 86 errors this year, KJ. The second most is the Marlins with 80. Like, this has been a major problem as well. So that's part of it. I still put the starting pitching as a bigger need, because I think the defense can improve.
I would put it in the middle relief, yeah.
Well, I think the defense can improve, like, with development, and they should probably need to add, but, like, who's been their shortstop? Like, you let Xander Bogaerts go, you signed Trevor Story.
You forget that Trevor Story hasn't been around.
Right. And Vaughn Grissom was supposed to be their second baseman. And like, that has, right. And I'm not making excuses for them.
And Cassis has been out at first for a good portion.
Yeah, I think some of that will naturally improve, or at least I hope so. Some of it you can add to, but I think the starting pitching is something you have to work more to add. Like, the example a lot of people use, because we had the caller earlier, Tim said, you know, hey, you got some luck involved. You get in there. Like, the Arizona Diamondbacks won 84 games and made the World Series last year, right? But they had Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly at the front of that rotation. Like, that's a lot different than what the Red Sox have right now. That's why, again, I think the fielding is something. I agree with the caller. It's a problem. I wonder if that can more kind of naturally improve over the next year, next offseason, and development.
Here's the other thing, though, and this kind of goes to the pitching where it doesn't necessarily fix all the issues. Is the American League has always been the bashers league, right? If you look at the bats up and down inside the AL East, this is the one league that you, and then you've got a short port park, right? You've got a short porch in left field. So you've got these kind of comedy of errors coming together, where you've got New York, you've got Baltimore who can absolutely rake. Toronto, even though they haven't been as good this year,
When they're on, they
can really score a lot of runs. And it walks into the narrative that we've been talking about with the Red Sox. If you told me, give me a choice of the Red Sox, who wins the game, if the score is 4-3 or if the score is 8-6, I'd say the Red Sox win that 8-6 game and lose that 4-3 game. So they have the right idea where, like, the offense is there. I don't know what the pitching is like. The only answer is probably more offense. Or really it comes down to, hey, if you're in these games in the 5th, 6th, 7th inning, and you generally are, and the pitching goes at that point, that's what's happening. And this is where I kind of go along with James with some of the errors. Some of these errors are happening with that middle relief in there, getting guys on base and extending innings. He's absolutely right if we're putting those scenarios together. So it's like, if you can get better middle relief, knowing that your front line isn't the greatest that you've got out there, but if your middle can hold things, you could say, I believe that the Red Sox would be able to out-hit anybody else in the league.
And you tell me if you agree or disagree with this, KJ, because I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it feels like their defense is also worse at home. Like, they commit a lot of these errors at home.
Well, they're a worse team at home anyway.
Like, but a ballpark that, again, you should be used to defensively. Some of these guys have been playing here multiple years defensively, and it feels like they play much better defensively when they're on the road as opposed to home. I mean, and I don't really have an explanation for that. I think it's kind of weird, but it's a thing that's just been kind of go all the way back to that first series of the year when they looked abysmal at home. And they've obviously been better since then at home. They're still not good at home, but better since then. But it's still like it feels like they make much more errors at home than they do on the, like I said, I don't have a good explanation for it. It's just
what I think again, it's nerves.
It very well could, because again, it feels like they make a lot more errors at home.
Yeah, and again, we get back to the Trevor Story thing, and we'll get back to football as well. But with the Trevor Story situation, he's supposed to be your shortstop, and he was for a little bit. So you're trying to figure shortstop things. You can't go and say, okay, let's go spend big money and go get another shortstop, because you spent money for him to be the shortstop, right? Xander, I think if you can't really cry over spilled milk in that situation. You know, I
will, but yes.
Because the other part is like, okay, so Trevor Story is now an absentee second baseman, and you're still paying all that money. I think it still comes down to the situation where it's like, okay, well, Story is still not here because him and Xander, when they were doing the shortstop second base thing, you're like, okay, this could potentially work, but Trevor Story would still need to be here to do it. So yeah, you'd probably have, you would have better defense up the middle, but I think you would also, well, I think the team would just be better. I think it just comes down to that. Yes. But now would you say, okay, you've got Xander on the payroll, you've got Trevor Story on the payroll. Like, would you even really have room to even make moves for anybody?
You would. And that's where it gets into, like, that's where it gets into the conversation. And I know this is a larger issue, but, like, you are the Boston Red Sox. You can afford to do that. Like, they could have, you know, they have Trevor Story's contract. They could afford to add a pitcher or two's contract to it as well. Like, they can afford that. Like, you know it. I know it. We all know it. I think that's just a lame excuse that sometimes we get from the team and people who just apologize for the team. That, like, you're like this offseason, with all the payroll they have, they can go out and sign Corbin Burns and Max Fried to top money, and they can afford it. Trust me.
And buy the Celtics, too?
Like, well, you know what? If it prevents him from buying the Celtics, I'll cry about that.
We'll talk about John Henry potentially buying the Celtics next. Plus, we'll get to more football talk. And just the Jag. We go through the Patriots roster and see who are the greats and who are not so great. Next, here on WEEI.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons here on WEEI. Your Sunday. Thank you for spending it with us. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We're here at 12:30. We'll hear from Drake May here at about 12. His thoughts of what went on with the Thursday night game and his playing time. We'll get back into that conversation in a little. 37937, what do you got, Jacob?
So I've got a Patriots texter here. Let's see. QB play last Thursday. May and Brissett are both going to make the team, no doubt. Other two needed a better look. We'll see.
Yeah, I think it's too early in the woods to determine who the third quarterback is. Because keep in mind, this team did not keep three quarterbacks for years. This may be the first time they do it.
Yeah, and I think it's going to come down to, again, May's development, but also do they feel like they can sneak Joe Milton onto the practice squad, which I don't think they'll be able to. I think they're going to have to keep him on the active roster.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those situations where you don't want to be burned with something that might help you from getting better, like, flamed on. And I think it ties to the offensive line as well. But we'll get into more Patriots talk here at 12 o'clock here on WEEI. Some people's fears or wonderments about, do you think John Henry could buy the Celtics, garner some legs this week? I do wonder how it happens if you're still trying to move Liverpool. If you move Liverpool, great. You've got like $7 billion in cash in hand if you can. Do you think this is just a look-see? Do you think they're really waiting out to see? Because here's the thing. I think FSG is still in line to get that franchise in Las Vegas. But do you want to go ahead and take the franchise that you know is well established? Do you think this is going to be the group that would pay that luxury tax to keep this team together?
Yeah, I think. Well, and that's the weird thing is that the Celtics, because all these contracts are locked in, the tax is going to be there, and you can say, oh, maybe they'd want to come in, and but you can't just shed payroll in the NBA like you can in the MLB or other sports. Like, especially once you get into that second apron area, you have to work out trades that are close to even salary-wise. So I really think this is more of a, they're kicking the tires on it. If the deal works out, they would do it, but are they going to aggressively pursue it in the same way maybe they went after Liverpool or the Pittsburgh Penguins? I don't think so. Like, I still view Steve Pagliuca as the front runner, or maybe someone on the outside. So I know it's, you know, it's a headliner, right? Hey, John Henry, Fenway Sports Group, but I think it's less likely to happen.
Yeah, if I said there was an order of who's most likely to get the Celtics, I would say outside one, Pags in a group that he can put together is two, John Henry three. And here's why I think it's probably a better deal for John Henry to get the team in Vegas. You'll have total control over the cap. No one is expecting that team. There'll be a supplemental draft. And I'll be honest, you'll probably get better players in a supplemental draft for your team in Vegas, and there'll be an additional another team. It could be Seattle, or it may not be another team. If you add one more team, you'd have to add another. So there would be two teams added that would come in with Vegas. So it'd probably be Vegas and probably Seattle as the other one. And you probably end up moving Toronto. I'm not Toronto. You probably end up moving Memphis into the Eastern Conference.
Sure.
So you've got two Western Conference teams. You'll have a supplementary draft of some pretty decent players that will go unprotected. So that so you'll have a decent team. And if LeBron has another year left in him, they may allow LeBron to be a player owner the way that Jordan did in Washington. So you might get LeBron in Vegas for 2 years. And I'm not John Henry, but if I'm that group, I would say, you know what? I would get more bang for my buck having LeBron playing his last couple of years in the NBA for the new franchise. It becomes part of the fabric of people coming out to see pro sports played at the time, you know, at the same time as you're out there gambling. Those who love him with the Lakers, their vacation spot, their getaway spot is Vegas. So you have some marketing pieces in play by having LeBron on a new team, LeBron with a bunch of bad people. That wouldn't be the first time we've seen that, versus taking on the Celtics, addressing what is or what isn't going on with TD Garden in terms of the rental. Are you looking at another place, paying more for the team as well? So I just think it would be a better move to still go get the team in Vegas. And it diversifies your portfolio, right? Because now you can help put together some type of network out there to show their games out there in Vegas, and LeBron is the star. So I think that just makes a little more sense than trying to buy the Celtics just because they're nearby.
And I also feel like, without knowing him personally, I feel like Henry and that group, they want to be the top dog alpha owners of a team, right? And if they bought the Celtics majority stake, they'd be the majority owners, but Paliuka would still own 20%, over 20%. And yeah, it's a minority stake, but it's a pretty big one. And then that's another loud voice in the room who's won championships with the franchise. I think, to your point, they'd rather just be the team in Vegas or Seattle, be the top dog, have full control of everything they want, new arena, new team from the ground up. I think that, and because it's a new team, new arena, they'd probably make more of a profit, at least in their first 5 or 6 years, whereas the Celtics, they're going to probably make minimal profit over the next 5 years because they have all these contracts already on the books.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, well, what we're about to do here, is a new feature here on KJ Lines. I don't even think John even really knows about this too much.
No, this is one of those secret features. KJ Springs on me. This is one of those secret features,
right? There you go. We're going to take an honest look. Now, as the season goes on, we'll be able to move these to other teams. I don't know what our schedule looks like over the course of the season, but this is something we'll roll with, where this is just kind of an evaluation of players on the field. Are they doing something or just the guy? Hit it, Jacob.
I'm sorry that I said you were a Jag, just a guy.
Just a guy.
Oh, he's just a Jag. Not great, not bad. Doesn't stand out on the field. Oh, he's just a Jag. Not great, not bad. Just a guy out on the field.
So I'm going to give you different names inside the depth chart for the Patriots. We'll just do the offensive side of the ball. Jag or a little more? All right, so I'm going to leave Jacoby Brissett out. I'm going to leave Drake May out. Let's get to Bailey Zappe. Jag or no?
Less than a Jag.
Oh, I forgot to tell Jacob. There is
just
a sound.
Just a guy.
He's just a guy. There you go. Joe Milton.
Jag.
Wow.
Just a guy.
Wow. You see how controversial this bit is already? All right, let's go to the running game. Ramondre Stevenson, he's going to be the guy. How about Antonio Gibson from what you've seen so far?
I think he's a little above a Jag.
Okay, so he doesn't get the sounder. Kevin Harris?
Jag.
Just a guy.
Oh, wow. Jamichael Hasty?
Below a Jag.
Just a guy. Just a guy.
So, where with the wide receiver room, we think everybody is at play. Kendrick Bourne?
Little above a Jag.
Okay. KJ Osborne?
Jag.
Wow.
Just a guy.
He just got here. I Kayshon Booty?
Below a Jag.
Wow.
Just a guy. Just a guy.
I'd have to agree. David Wallace.
Jag.
Wow.
Just a
this
guy.
This is a controversy. DeMario Douglas.
He's above a Jag. He's legit.
Okay. Javon Baker. Tweets a lot.
I actually think he can be above a Jag. Okay. He needs more consistency there, but I think he can be above a Jag.
Jalen Reagor.
Jag.
Wow. Just a guy.
Dequay Jackson.
Below a Jag.
Whoa. Just a guy. Just a guy.
Jalen Pope.
I think he can be above a Jag, too.
This is a controversial one. Tyquan Thornton.
Jag.
Oh, I'm with you.
Just a guy.
And Quan Baker.
Jag.
Just a guy.
Wow. So how many, just between quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers, the only ones you say are not Jags, Antonio Gibson, well, it's out of Ramondre Stevenson, Antonio Gibson, KJ, Kendrick Bourne,
and Douglas.
And DeMario, that's it, wow.
Yeah. And Jalen Polk, too, I'd put him.
Jalen Polk, right. Yeah, yeah. Javon Baker, what, give me that again?
I think he can be a little bit above a Jag.
Okay. Yeah. So I just want to make sure. But Tyquan Thornton, you said a Jag. Wow. He was one of the stars. He killed the music there. Just a Jag. You like that?
That's where a lot of those guys are at. You know? Doesn't mean they suck, but it's just like.
Have you thought about maybe we hire security if we go down to Foxborough for this bit?
Well, I'll be there Tuesday, so I won't be.
Announce out loud?
I won't be doing that bit on Tuesday.
You don't think they're listening on a Sunday? You said I was a joke.
No, they're at practice right now. They're busy.
Well, there you go. If they're listening, then there's a bigger problem right
They've
there.
They've got it on in their helmets.
There you go. Like after KJ and Lyon said last Sunday, damn it, I'm going to tuck this iPod into my headphones to hear what they say.
See, if we did this on defense, there'd be a lot of guys above a Jag.
Well, there are not too many Jags, right. There are not too many Jags on the defensive side of the ball. And as we get into the season, we can observe guys on other teams because we're in the season, you know, where we can get into, hey, is Aaron Rodgers just Jag material so far? I mean, this is a fun bit. And you know the crazy thing is, John? There's probably a 40% chance someone else on the station will attempt to do this.
Hey, we're trendsetters here.
And we shouldn't be. This should just be a Sunday show where it's like they're over-talking sports analysis and numbers and inside the underwears and the tags and all that. It's entertainment.
That's the fun observation, Chris.
Thank you. The final half hour.
Oh, don't mention it.
Of KJ and Lyons is next on WEEI.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons here on WEEI, your Sunday. Thank you for spending it with us. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We're here to 12:30. We'll hear from Drake May here at about 12. His thoughts of what went on with the Thursday night game and his playing time. We'll get back into that conversation in a little. 37937, what do you got, Jacob?
So I've got a Patriots texter here. Let's see. QB play last Thursday. May and Brissett are both going to make the team, no doubt. Other two needed a better look. We'll see.
Yeah, I think it's too early in the woods to determine who the third quarterback is. Because keep in mind, this team did not keep three quarterbacks for years. This may be the first time they do it.
Yeah, and I think it's going to come down to, again, May's development, but also do they feel like they can sneak Joe Milton onto the practice squad, which I don't think they'll be able to. I think they're going to have to keep him on the active roster.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those situations where you don't want to be burned with something that might help you from getting better, like, flamed on. And I think it ties to the offensive line as well. But we'll get into more Patriots talk here at 12 o'clock here on WEEI. So some people's fears or wonderments about, do you think John Henry could buy the Celtics, garnish some legs this week? I do wonder how it happens if you're still trying to move Liverpool. If you can move Liverpool, great. You've got like $7 billion in cash in hand if you can. Do you think this is just a look-see? Do you think they're really waiting out to see? Because here's the thing. I think FSG is still in line to get that franchise in Las Vegas. But do you want to go ahead and take the franchise that you know is well-established? Do you think... this is going to be the group that would pay that luxury tax to keep this team together.
Yeah, I think. Well, and that's the weird thing is that the Celtics, because all these contracts are locked in, the tax is going to be there. And you can say, oh, maybe they'd want to come in, but you can't just shed payroll in the NBA like you can in the MLB or other sports. Like, especially once you get into that second apron area, you have to work out trades that are close to even salary-wise. So I really think this is more of a, they're kicking the tires on it. If the deal works out, they would do it, but are they going to aggressively pursue it in the same way maybe they went after Liverpool or the Pittsburgh Penguins? I don't think so. Like, I still view Steve Pagliuca as the front runner, or maybe someone on the outside. So, I again, I know it's, you know, it's a headliner, right? Hey, John Henry, Fenway Sports Group. But I just, I think it's less likely to happen.
Yeah, if I said there was an order of who's most likely to get the Celtics, I would say outside one, Pags in a group that he could put together as two, John Henry three. And here's why I think it's probably a better deal for John Henry to get the team in Vegas. You'll have total control over the cap. No one is expecting that team. There'll be a supplemental draft. And I'll be honest, you'll probably get better players in a supplemental draft for your team in Vegas, and there'll be an additional another team. It could be Seattle, or it may not be another team. If you add one more team, you'd have to add another. So there would be two teams added that would come in with Vegas. So it'd probably be Vegas and probably Seattle as the other one. And you probably end up moving Toronto. I'm not Toronto. You probably end up moving Memphis into the Eastern Conference.
Sure.
So you've got two Western Conference teams. You'll have a supplementary draft of some pretty decent players that will go unprotected. So you'll have a decent team. And if LeBron has another year left in him, they may allow LeBron to be a player owner the way that Jordan did in Washington. So you might get LeBron in Vegas for 2 years. And I'm not John Henry, but if I'm that group, I would say, you know what? I would get more bang for my buck having LeBron playing his last couple of years in the NBA for the new franchise. It becomes part of the fabric of people coming out to see pro sports played at the time, you know, at the same time as you're out there gambling. Those who love him with the Lakers, their vacation spot, their getaway spot is Vegas. So you have some marketing pieces in play by having LeBron on a new team, LeBron with a bunch of bad people. That wouldn't be the first time we've seen that, versus taking on the Celtics, addressing what is or what isn't going on with TD Garden in terms of the rental. Are you looking at another place, paying more for the team as well? So I just think it would be a better move to still go get the team in Vegas. And it diversifies your portfolio, right? Because now you can help put together some type of network out there to show their games out there in Vegas, and LeBron is the star. So I think that just makes a little more sense than trying to buy the Celtics just because they're nearby.
And I also feel like, without knowing him personally, I feel like Henry and that group, they want to be the top dog alpha owners of a team, right? And if they bought the Celtics majority stake, they'd be the majority owners, but Paliuka would still own 20%, over 20%. And yeah, it's a minority stake, but it's a pretty big one. And then that's another loud voice in the room who's won championships with the franchise. I think, to your point, they'd rather just be the team in Vegas or Seattle, be the top dog, have full control of everything they want, new arena, new team from the ground up. I think that, and because it's a new team, new arena, they'd probably make more of a profit, at least in their first 5 or 6 years, whereas the Celtics, they're going to probably make minimal profit over the next 5 years because they have all these contracts already on the books.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, well, what we're about to do here, is a new feature here on KJ Lines. I don't even think John even really knows about this too much.
No, this is one of those secret features. KJ
one of those
springs
secret
on
features,
me.
Right. There yeah. You go. We're going to take an honest look. Now, as the season goes on, we'll be able to move these to other teams. I don't know what our schedule looks like over the course of the season, but this is something we'll roll with, where this is just kind of an evaluation of players on the field. Are they doing something or just the guy? Hit it, Jacob.
I'm sorry that I said you were a Jag. Just a guy.
Just a guy. Oh, he's just a Jag. Not great, not bad. Doesn't stand out on the field. Oh, he's just a Jag. Not great, not bad. Just a guy out on the field.
So I'm going to give you different names inside the depth chart for the Patriots. We'll just do the offensive side of the ball. Jag or a little more? All right, so I'm going to leave Jacoby Brissett out. I'm going to leave Drake May out. Let's get to Bailey Zappe. Jag or no?
Less than a Jag.
Oh! I forgot to tell Jacob. There is
just
a sound.
Just a guy.
He's just a guy. There you go. Joe Milton.
Jag.
Wow.
Just a guy.
Wow. You see how controversial this bit is already? All right, let's go to the running game. Ramondre Stevenson, he's going to be the guy. How about Antonio Gibson from what you've seen so far?
I think he's a little above a Jag.
Okay, so he doesn't get the sounder. Kevin Harris?
Jag.
Just a guy.
Oh, wow. Jamichael Hasty?
Below a Jag.
Just a guy. Just a guy.
So where with the wide receiver room, we think everybody is at play. Kendrick Bourne.
Little above a Jag.
Okay. KJ Osborne.
Jag.
Wow.
Just a guy.
He just got here. Kayshon Booty?
Below a Jag.
Wow.
Just a guy. Just a guy.
I'd have to agree. David Wallace.
Jag.
Wow.
Just a guy.
This is a controversy. DeMario Douglas.
He's above a Jag. He's legit.
Okay. Javon Baker tweets a lot.
I actually think he can be above a Jag. Okay. He needs more consistency there, but I think he can be above a Jag.
Jalen Reagor.
Jag.
Wow. Just a guy.
DeQuay Jackson.
Below a Jag.
Whoa. Just a guy. Just a guy.
Jalen Pope.
I think he can be above a Jag, too.
This is a controversial one. Tyquan Thornton.
Jag.
Oh, I'm with you.
Just a guy.
And Quan Baker.
Jag.
Just a guy.
Wow. So how many, just between quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers, the only ones you say are not Jags, Antonio Gibson, well, outside of Ramondre Stevenson, Antonio Gibson, KJ, Kendrick Bourne,
and Douglas.
And DeMario, that's it, wow.
Yeah. And Jalen Polk, too, I'd put him.
Jalen Polk, right. Yeah, yeah. Javon Baker, give me that again?
I think he can be a little bit above a Jag.
Okay. Yeah. So I just want to make sure. But Tyquan Thornton, you said a Jag. Wow. He was one of the stars. He killed the music there. Just a Jag. You like that?
That's where a lot of those guys are at. You know? Doesn't mean they suck, but it's just like.
Have you thought about maybe we hire security if we go down to Foxborough for this bit?
Well, I'll be there Tuesday, so I won't be.
Announce out loud?
I won't be doing that bit on Tuesday.
You don't think they're listening on a Sunday? You said I was a Jag.
No, they're at practice right now. They're busy.
Well, there you go. If they're listening, then there's a bigger problem right
They've got it on in their helmets.
There you go. Like after KJ and Lyon said last Sunday, damn it, I'm going to tuck this iPod into my headphones to hear what they say.
See, if we did this on defense, there'd be a lot of guys above a Jag.
Well, there are not too many Jags, right. There are not too many Jags on the defensive side of the ball. And as we get into the season, we can observe guys on other teams because we're in the season, you know, where we can get into, hey, is Aaron Rodgers just Jag material so far? I mean, this is a fun bit. And you know the crazy thing is, John? There's probably a 40% chance someone else on the station will attempt to do this.
Hey, we're trendsetters here.
And we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be. This should just be a Sunday show where it's like they're over-talking sports analysis and numbers and inside the underwears and the tags and all that. It's entertainment.
That's my observation, Christian.
Thank you. The final half hour.
Oh, don't mention it.
Of KJ and Lyons is next on WEEI.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.